Studio 360 is supported by Herman Miller and Design Within Reach, working together to foster a greater appreciation of authentic modern designs for the home. Product information available online at dwr.com/360.
This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Today we're looking at what state-of-the-art neuroscience can tell us about creativity. I've always wondered and hope that there is a kind of bright idea spot in the brain, a neurological light bulb that goes off when you think of the best new way to redesign the garden or a good idea for a novel. Nancy Andreasen is actually doing the research to find out if there is such a spot or spots, and if so, where they are. She's the author of a book called The Creating Brain, The Neuroscience of Genius, and she's also a professor of psychiatry at the University of Iowa.
My working hypothesis is that the part of the brain that is most active during the creative process is the association cortex.
The association cortices cover most of the surface of the human brain. Andreasen first had the idea of looking at it using PET scan imaging, but that's painful and involves radiation. Much later, when modern imaging technologies became available, she realized that something called functional magnetic resonance would do the trick perfectly.
Functional MR is used to measure something that's called the Bold effect, and that is an indirect indication of cerebral blood flow.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, I'll design an fMR study and use it in creative people. And I've just gotten that study kicked off the ground. Designing it was a difficult thing because the creative process is not something you can just tell people to
generate. Yeah.
So we had to put a lot of thought into how to design an fMR experiment that would be really kindred to the creative process. And we do have a very nice experiment now, and we've run at this moment precisely one highly creative person, and he is highly creative, and about five or six normal controls. And as predicted by our hypothesis, his association cortices are much more active during these creative-like tasks than in the normal controls.
So what did you have him do?
We had three tasks. Task one was a word association task. Then we did a picture association task. And then the third task is a pattern detection task. In this study, we're going to look at a total of 30 creative artists and 30 creative scientists. And so we wanted to choose tasks that were not discipline specific.
Uh-huh.
You know, writers are, of course, highly verbal, but you know, scientists may or may not be.
And the one person you've tested so far, he's a writer. What kind of artist is he?
He happens to be a writer and filmmaker.
Mm-hmm. And how did he respond? And how more, I guess, to the point, did the inner wiring of his brain respond to these tasks compared to normal folks?
When we do these studies, we can look at the size of the brain region activated, and we can look at the intensity of the activation. If I had pictures, I could show you, and you'd recognize it in a second,
mm-hmm.
that one single normal looks kind of smeary, and you can see, there's some activation in the association cortex, but it's not very intense, and it's not very clear. And with this person, it was just crisp, bright, beautiful yellow, orange, and red glowing spots. And the thing is, he's in his 60s. When I began to design the study, I was trying to decide if I'd have an upper age limit because as people age, their cerebral blood flow diminishes a bit. Having seen what his brain did, I think I'm going to push it up to 85 or so because unfortunately, or fortunately, a lot of highly creative people, especially in the sciences, are in their 70s and 80s.
Right. Now, if this remains consistent, then presumably one after that would be able to go, not knowing anything about somebody's talents, put them through the functional MR and say, looks like you must be an artist. I mean, is that right?
Yeah. Well, this is, I mean, the question you ask has very, very, very significant implications because the study of creativity is something that's been going on since the mid-20th century. And one of the motivators has been to figure out ways to identify gifted kids. And the problem has been that nobody has been able to generate tests that are successful in doing that. There is a large literature done primarily by a variety of psychologists where they generated creativity tests designed to elicit something called divergent thinking. An example is how many uses can you find for a brick? Mm-hmm. And somebody who can think of more uses for a brick is considered to be potentially more creative. I've always thought that that was a fairly silly way to test somebody's creativity. Uh-huh. So, yes, maybe 2, 3, 5 years from now, one could do fMRI studies of a cohort of kids and identify those who do have the most active association cortices and say, these are potentially highly creative kids. Huh.
Nancy Andreasen, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Well, thank you for talking with me. I enjoyed it very much.
Nancy Andreasen is a professor of psychiatry at the University of Iowa and the director of the University of New Mexico's Mind Institute. Her book is The Creating Brain, The Neuroscience of Genius.